This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Quad cores, megapixels, AMOLED, micro SD slots, and milliamps. Sounds familiar? Great, because this is the best smartphones of 2015 show. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and today I'll be going through some of the phones that I managed to get my hands on, thanks to either my friends or manufacturers themselves who were really generous and supportive throughout this whole year. Shoutouts go to Sony, Huawei, LG, HTC, Oppo, and ZTE. And since Apple reinvented the iPhone for the 8th time last year, at the end of 2014 with the iPhone 6, Android phones have been on a hyperspace move, with Google pushing out Android Lollipop and then Marshmallow, leaving dust behind compared to other operating systems. BlackBerry made a small tiny comeback, if you could call that, with the BlackBerry Priv, but no one is comfortable yet with the idea of ditching their current smartphones. And as for Windows phones, well, Windows 10 is all up and running. It should be a good alternative, but I have yet to try myself a proper Windows 10 smartphone, so it won't be on this list just like the BlackBerry. So then, Android phones. Whenever I'm asked by fellow colleagues and friends and family about what is a good phone, I have one standard reply. What is your budget? So this is how the show will start. The phones that are above 2,000 ringgit, phones that are between 1,000 and 2,000 ringgit, and phones that are below 1,000 ringgit. And there won't be any winner per se, as it would be a bit too personal for me to say that this is the best smartphone in this category. Hence, this show name is Best Smartphones. It's with an S. So let's start with those on a shoestring budget, the below 1,000 ringgit. First up, I got to play with the Xiaomi Redmi Note 2 and also the Xiaomi Mi 4i. The Redmi Note 2 goes for 649 ringgit and the Mi 4i, which is a bit more premium, goes for 899 ringgit. Which is better among those two? Well, it's the Mi 4i with 32GB of storage. It's a 5-inch display, 1080p, and it sports a 13-megapixel Sony Samsung camera, and it's also dual SIM. The display is probably the strongest point of this phone. The weakest? It comes with 2GB of RAM, and the MIUI does take up a lot of RAM. It does not leave you much space to play around with, hence it does suffer in performance. But for a phone at this price, it's pretty solid. The other phones that are within this range is the Huawei P8 Lite. It's coming in at the same price of 899 ringgit. The battery life on this thing is a beast. Definitely enough for a day. Camera is also a pretty good shutter, but it does suffer in low light. The display is probably the weakest here because it suffers under direct sunlight. Other phones that you should check out with this list is the HTC Desire A20s, the Samsung Galaxy A5, and the ridiculously thin Oppo R5. All of these are below 1,000 ringgit. For something that's really, really cheap, do check out the Motorola E, the 2015 model. It might be hard to get officially, but through online stores, you can get that for below 500 ringgit. And it's a solid low-end budget smartphone. Now we'll take a short break, and when we come back in just a moment, mid-range and flagships. BFM 89.9. You're back with the best smartphones of 2015, part 2. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and in part 1 we did phones that are below 1,000 ringgit. Now then, mid-range smartphones have become very popular this year, especially with plenty of new players in the field. For example, let's start with Huawei, because there are three phones this year that I tried from them and that's within this price range, and all three of them blew me away. Huawei has leapfrogged many other manufacturers this year by releasing high-quality, mid-range smartphones and innovative flagship devices. First up I got to play with is the Huawei Honor 6 Plus. This phone sports a 2.8-megapixel camera at the back with a 5.5-inch display. The camera allows you to snap now and focus later. The feel of this phone is absolutely fantastic. The Gorilla Glass from the front and the back, and it has an aluminium band around it. Along then came the Huawei Honor 7. For the same price as the Honor 6 Plus, you can get a much more stylish phone with a slightly smaller but brighter 5.2-inch display, 20 megapixels camera at the back, an 8 megapixel camera at the front for your selfies, and a 3 gigabytes of RAM and also a fingerprint scanner. All that for just 1,399 ringgit. The Huawei Honor 7 really pushes how a smartphone at that price range can have all of these high-end features. It is really, really hard to find faults with this phone, and it would be nitpicking if I were to do so. For example, the processor doesn't do well for gaming, but honestly, how often do you game on your mobile phone? And if you were one of those people who play the cat collecting game, then you won't have any issues. Again, I'm just nitpicking here because it is really a phone that suffers in intensive gaming, and not many of us do that. I don't, for sure. So it's really hard to find any other phone that is as good as new. Bear in mind, this phone is really new in the market, and as premium as you can get for the price well below 1,500 ringgit. The Huawei P8 is another worthy contender, as it sits slightly above the Honor series, as it is a bit more premium and with slightly faster processor, but it's a bit older than the Honor 7. The HTC Desire I is HTC's take on creating a mid-range smartphone that excels in one thing, and they chose to focus on this selfie phenomenon. It has a 13 megapixels wide-angle front-facing camera and also an SD card slot. So if you're looking for a phone that takes great selfies, then you should check out the HTC Desire I. Another manufacturer that's been making waves in the smartphone industry in 2015 is Oppo. The previous Oppo smartphone that I tested in 2014 was the Oppo Find 7a, and that was a beast of a phone. I loved every single thing about that phone, and I expected a lot the same with the new Oppo R7. The model that I played around with is the standard R7 that cost 1,598 ringgit. The slightly lower powered RAM R7 Lite is at 1,298 ringgit. The R7 Plus is at 1,998 ringgit with a huge 4,100 milliamp battery. The R7 has an all-metal design with flash charge, so meaning you can charge your phone very, very quickly. The feel of the phone is great as well. It is a one solid piece of device. Oppo has done an excellent job with its screen quality and also the brightness. While the performance of the processor is not on par with other premium phones, it is still a very good phone for your everyday usage. Again, forget about intensive gaming because this is not what the phone is meant for. And if you're looking to check out for mid-range smartphones, so there you have it, is the Huawei Honor 7 and the Oppo R7. And if you want slightly more premium but maybe a bit older, the Huawei P8. And if you want something for your selfies, is the HTC Desire I. Go and check that out. And now, for the premium phones. This year has been a year where smartphones break the 4,000 ringgit barrier. Thanks to the iPhone 6s 64 gigs, that's 4,199 ringgit, and the 128 gig goes for a whopping 4,699 ringgit. But an iPhone is an iPhone. If you're an iPhone user, you'd stick with iPhones. And there's not much to choose from. It all depends on how deep your wallet is when it comes to the iPhones. For Android, however, older players and newer players have taken a step further. First up, the Samsung Galaxy S6 and the S6 Edge. Samsung knew it needed to change the Galaxy S series phones, and they did it with style. Nothing comes close to sheer premium feel of the S6 Edge with its dual edge display. The screen itself is one of the best, if not the best, in every aspect. Pixel ratio, brightness, color reproduction. Let's just say it is absolutely perfect. And you would expect that when you're buying a premium phone. A premium phone that's more than 2,000 ringgit should not have any faults in them. The Galaxy S6 and the S6 Edge has only one issue: the lack of SD card support. But for most people, that wouldn't be an issue. However, because the camera is one of the best smartphone cameras out there, you'll probably end up taking a lot more pictures, especially when you're traveling. So extra storage for pictures and music on an SD card would be a huge bonus for this phone. But it doesn't have that. And if you're okay with that, then you be prepared to spend about 2,300 ringgit for the S6 and the S6 Edge, which is slightly more than that. Hands down, it is the most top quality phone that I've ever played in 2015. And if you have that kind of money, go for it. And if you're looking for something slightly bigger, the Samsung Galaxy Note 5 is the one for you. Just like the S6 and the S6 Edge, the Note 5's build quality and internals are top-notch. Where it differs is the screen size and the S Pen. If you're the type who takes a lot of notes using your smartphone, the Note 5 is probably the only smartphone that you should be looking at. It's a huge phone as well with a 5.7-inch display. So definitely only for those who are looking for a larger screen. Other phones that made it onto this list is the Huawei Mate S. Huawei has yet again come up with a phone that is elegant and classy, especially in its rose gold color. Just looks absolutely gorgeous. And unlike the S6 and the S6 Edge, the Huawei Mate S comes with an SD card slot, or you can use it for a second SIM. The downside of the phone, however, is the camera. It is not as good as compared to the S6 or the S6 Edge, but it is still a decent enough shooter and you can shoot in full manual mode. Do check out the full review of the Mate S on the website on bfm.my, as I did that a few weeks back. And the packaging on this thing is absolutely top class, really premium, great stuff from Huawei. And lastly, there's the LG G4, the underdog, makers of the previous Nexus that I love so much, the Nexus 5. LG this year stuck with the philosophy of if it works, don't break it. And that's the case with the G4. Running on a slightly lower Snapdragon processor, it's not the 810 because probably the heat, the G4 did not change much from the G3. One thing that really changed was the back, the leather back. Although many are not a fan of it, I actually really do love it. The version that I got for myself was the red leather, and boy, it looks really good. Too good, in fact, that I actually had to get a case to protect it because I was just a bit too scared of it being damaged, being it leather and all that. Now then, problems with the G4. It is not as fast as the S6, and unlike the Huawei Mate S and also Samsung S6 series, it doesn't have a fingerprint scanner. It may be nitpicking for a premium phone, but after using phones like the S6 and the Mate S, going back to unlocking your phone using PIN codes or patterns, it feels very tired, very old. I only wish that the G4 came with a fingerprint scanner, which we will surely see in the next version. So there you have it, the phones that you need to consider when you're purchasing one during this time of the year. At the end of the day, it really just comes down to what phone fits your style best. A smartphone today is something that you'd bring around with you all the time, so choose the one that feels good in your hands. Each smartphone have very slight variations among them when you look at the price range. Comparing the S6 and the Mate S and the G4 will only just come down to what can you afford and which do you think is beautiful. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Now then, you have your phone and it's time to start doing the final preparation for your New Year's Eve party. So what could be the best accessory to pair with your smartphone? Bluetooth speakers, of course. And there's plenty to choose from these days, from Jabra Soulmate, Jawbone's Jambox, and the mega expensive Bose SoundLink. And all those are great, but you can find out more about how they perform from previous podcasts. Today, though, I want to review the UE Boom. UE stands for Ultimate Ears. It's a brand that was bought over by Logitech in 2008. And the Boom speaker, it is the flagship device. The thing that will make the UE Boom stand out compared to the rest is the way this thing is styled. Its funky color combination, its cylinder-shaped design, it kind of reminds me a lot of like my high school pencil box. It has built-in NFC and its ability to pair up to two devices at the same time, and the ability to pair two UE booms from one source, and that's a real party trick right there. Also, if you're the type that likes singing in the shower, you'll be happy to know that this is an IPX4 water-resistant device, meaning it can withstand a splash of water. Just don't go diving with it. Also, since you might be using this for your party, it is also stain-resistant. Now, there's a good reason why this thing is shaped like a cylinder. When it's standing upright, the sound is spread widely, so you can hear it well from any angle. The UE Boom, however, suffers a bit from a good bass, but you know, just like any other Bluetooth speakers in the market, bass isn't something that you would consider to be good from a Bluetooth speaker. Of course, if you want a good bassy speakers, then you know you should just get a proper speaker and not a Bluetooth speaker. The UE Boom also comes in with an app that gives you the ability to tweak the sound even further, so you can increase the bass slightly. But I found it completely irrelevant because the sound was good enough for me, and where the speaker really does well and on par with the super expensive Bluetooth speakers is the mid-range and the treble range. It has very crisp acoustic and clear vocals. It can be heard clearly from any angle. Ultimate Ears has done a fantastic job in making a Bluetooth speaker not only looking really cool, but also sounding really nice and really loud. The volume buttons are located at the side of the device, and it has a huge plus and minus sign to indicate where it is, and it has a great sensation when you click it. It is these tiny details that you feel UE has studied and make an effort to show in their device, and it really puts a smile on your face. And hopefully this New Year's Eve party that you will be having, a smile on everyone's face. Now, the UE Boom does double up as a speakerphone as well, and to me, it fits really nicely in my car's cup holder. So that got me thinking, now, how many of us here actually drive a car with a Bluetooth-ready entertainment system? And to upgrade your car's entertainment system to a Bluetooth-enabled system is going to cost you around 1,000 ringgit, or probably even more for a really quality system. Hence, maybe it's better to invest in this instead. The UE Boom is loud, it's clear, it fits nicely in your cup holders. Plus, your songs will continue to play immediately after the call has ended. And the best part is, you can actually take it out from your car and then start a party elsewhere. So, you know, it's really a win-win situation here. Now, the UE Boom retails for 799 ringgit. However, there's good news. Until the 31st of December 2015, the UE Boom in selected local stores are slashed from 599 ringgit for the first unit and 399 ringgit for the second unit. This is where pairing with two UE Booms comes in really handy. Do look it up online on which are the local stores that are having this promotion. That's all the time we have for today's episode on the best smartphones of 2015 and also the best accessory that you can pair it with, especially when it's approaching the New Year's Eve party. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and have a lovely New Year celebration. Happy New Year, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.